welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. I am Jessica. I will be hosting you today, and I am here with the author Samantha Downing, who has another fun, wild ride to take us on. We've already spoken to you, I believe, about He Started It.
Mm-hmm.
Was it He Started It?
I think
It?
For your own good, too.
For you and for your own good. And now tell us a little bit about this one that we're talking about.
A Twisted Love Story is primarily about a couple named Wes and Ivy, who are kind of like a tornado, and they sort of blow through life, mowing down everything in their path and pulling people into their whirlwind relationship. It's a dramatic 10-year relationship. They break up, they get back together, and lots of people get pulled into their drama, and lots of people insert themselves into their drama. And some bad things happen, and occasionally someone dies. So in this book, they have a detective who's latched onto them and thinks something is very wrong there.
I'm thinking about them, and I'm like, on one hand, I want to say, I feel like everybody has known a couple slightly like them, but hopefully without the death part, because, you know, the collateral is pretty strong with those two. But, you know, it's funny, when I was reading Wes and Ivy, I'm reading them and I'm like, okay, I know this is a Samantha Downing book, and I know things are going to go to some pretty wild places. And there's probably going to be some death, which isn't a spoiler, by the way, because if you've read Samantha's books, you know it's going to happen at some point. But the thing is, you know, I've known so many friends or like acquaintances who are just addicted to these toxic relationships and these situations of drama where it's like, they love each other. They hate each other. They love each other again. Someone keys someone's car. That is actually something that I knew of that happened with someone I knew and her significant other. You know, and it's like everybody is like on the outside of this. Like, what is going on? Like, what, you know? For me, I'm like, what's the appeal? Reading it, I can see the appeal because it's fun to read, but like literally this is not, you know, I'm not going to be called in for a witness to any of this drama. So yeah, it was just, they were fun to read, even though, man, was that relationship toxic. Do you want to talk just a little bit about them and where they came from? And then also like the detective, because that was a really good, that was like a really good thread that was running through it. When it started, I was like, okay. And then as it went on and started unspooling, I just enjoyed Karen more and more.
Yeah, their relationship is really a character in the book. Wes and Ivy are people, individuals, but together they become something else. So their relationship has its own characteristics, and they are, I guess you could say we used to call their relationship a roller coaster relationship long before the word toxic was ever a part of the conversation, before that word was ever being used. We used to just call them a roller coaster relationship. They're up, they're down, they break up, they get back together. Everybody knew a couple like that. And it just went on and on. And it was their choice. It's what they wanted. Now we have the word toxic, which is, funny to me, because apparently the way I understand it, if you say something's toxic, then it's just pure toxic and it's over. So apparently you're either in a toxic relationship or you're in a healthy one. And these are your options today. So if somebody does something toxic, you're in a toxic relationship and you should end it, just period. in this relationship, they definitely crave the intense feelings, the intense feeling of breaking up, the intense feeling of getting back together. So they do it over and over and over, and they have to keep do getting more dramatic in order to feel it. And there are lots of people who have opinions about it because we think a relationship is between two people, but it's not. There are other people giving their opinions. There are other people that have thoughts about it. There are other people who will insert themselves into your relationship, and that happens a lot too. So the whole book is really about a number of different relationships, not just Wes and Ivy's, but you mentioned Karen. Karen has her own background with relationships who have. Which has formed who she has become today. So, in every case, in every character, there are relationships that make them the people that they are. So, in a sense, love is a character in the book as well.
Yeah, I think the thing with like Wes and Ivy that's interesting is it's just kind of like immediately when you kind of see how they come together, you're just like, oh, come on. Like, really? But again, like you said, like there are people like this is what they crave. And what I like with Karen, like her job as a detective, she's sex crimes detective. So she sees a lot, and that kind of plays into how she perceives things as well. And then you have characters like Wes's sister. Who's obviously seen this roller coaster and has her opinions on it. And you have Wes's boss. And then there's Bianca, who is like one of those characters that at first I was like, Bianca, come on, what's your deal? like, what are you getting out of this? What exactly is it that you're looking for? So it really was like it was kind of like this revolving camera almost of people being pulled into, you could call it a whirlpool, but it was like almost like a sinkhole. And then you had the backgrounds, which are spoilers, and I don't want to give them up too much. How did you like sort of like, did you know what threads were going to be pulled where or, I think we've spoken about this before. You don't plot as much as you let the story pull you along. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah. I don't plot at all. I knew it would be about a dramatic relationship. I wanted to write a thriller about a relationship and that the relationship was driving the story. And as I said, we don't live in a vacuum. So other people have to be involved. And the Bianca is a character. She's an assistant in Wes's office, and assistants are so often overlooked. But the fact is, assistants know everything. And assistants can make or break you, not only for the employees, but for people who are trying to get access to the people that she assists. So never underestimate the power of an assistant. I've been one and I know this. So the she just happens to know a lot more than most.
Yeah, and I thought that she was I mean again she was sort of a character that like at first I was kind of thought I knew her motivations, but then as it went on and then things took a few more turns there. Was there any character that because I know that you are and it's like I've gotten so kind of like burned out on the term pantser. Don't know why. I like to like maybe like MacGyver writer for those who know who MacGyver is. It's like you're writing and then suddenly like you're like, no, I'm gonna take this and put it together and see if it explodes, almost. That which is kind of like how I feel when I read your books. Like, okay, like when's the explosion? Ah, there it is. There's gonna be a few more. Was there any character that kind of like just walked into your book and sort of took over a few scenes as you were writing? Because there are several really good characters in the book.
There's a character named Abigail, who is another person who works in Wes's office, that plays an important role. And it was interesting writing the office scenes in particular because I wrote this after, or into the pandemic, and when people were not going back to work anymore and people were getting work from home permanently. And it occurred to me that this is not going to be a setting we can use for very much longer. 10 years from now, there'll be many people who have never, ever worked in an office and they will not relate to being in an office at all. So unless you do something where you have to be on site, like work in a hospital, a whole lot of work is going to be from home, which for thriller writers is a shame because it's a great setting for a thriller writer because lots of people can interact, people can get to know each other, people can see each other do things, and that's all kind of gone when everybody's on Zoom.
Yeah, that's actually true. And I hadn't really been thinking about it. I was going to ask you at what point you wrote this book, because, you know, the first book we talked about, he started it, was obviously, I mean, that came out in 2020, right?
No, the first book was My Lovely Wife.
We talked a little bit about My Lovely Wife, but I think the first book we interviewed about was...
It came out in the middle, right after the pandemic started. It came out in July of 2020. And then For Your Own Good came out in 2021. And I was writing this during 2021. And
it was kind of deep
into the pandemic.
It was unclear what direction things were really going to go at that point. I know now, you know, there really is a push to call people back to the office, but there's also a pull the other way. That's true. And that actually is a little sad that like movies like Office Space will be dated.
Oh yeah, completely, completely. They'll become like rotary phones generations, a couple generations from now, people won't even relate to the office environment at all.
So because this relationship spans 10 years, you know, that must have kind of taken some work deciding like what parts of the past you wanted to focus on. What did a lot end up sort of on the cutting room floor? Like, were there things that you're like, I'd love to put this in, but you're just like, it's just not going to lend anything to like the length of a thriller, for instance?
Yeah, the thing with Wes and Ivy, it was really trying to decide how far they would realistically go. How dramatic would they actually get? And trying to bridge a line between they're crazy, but they're not psychopaths. You know, they're not a serial killing couple like My Lovely Wife. It's a totally different scenario. So they are focused on each other and they're not seeing what they're doing to other people. So it is, I'd say that's really where the difficulty was in trying to decide what to keep and what not to keep. There were scenes I wrote that were a lot harsher between them and scenes I wrote that weren't as harsh. And it was really trying to find the right tone for them to be crazy, but not ruthless.
Yeah, they definitely were not Millicent and her husband, who I want to call Tobias, but I know that's not his actual name. That was like one of
that's his, what I call him. I call him Tobias.
Okay, well, Millicent and Tobias, like they clearly weren't them, but there was, I mean, again, there was some stuff in there, and they definitely craved these highs in order to sustain their relationship.
But I thought it was important to show them so focused on each other, because that's how people in relationships are, is they're completely focused on their partner sometimes to the exclusion of everything else, especially in the beginning of a relationship. So they're so focused on each other, they don't see what's happening around them. And that is, in my mind, completely realistic to how couples act.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And I think, like, especially in the beginning of a relationship, you know, I mean, and one thing, so I think there's like a line somewhere in the book where people talk about like, well, this is how people act when they're younger, you know, like when they're teenagers. But I don't really think that's 100% accurate. I think that for the most part, when people start new relationships, they do focus just on each other. And, you know, it affects other people. I mean, it really does. I thought that what was interesting about Wes and Ivy, and I, you know, again, this is not a spoiler, but because their relationship is always like start, go, it's like they always revisit that part. So it's not like you get to this part where, you know, like you wake up and you see like your partner and you're just like, oh, you're annoying. I'm gonna go get coffee with my friend. You know, it's just because it's always like, oh my God, they took me back. We're back together. What are they doing? It's always that height of intensity, and it's always that like real intense. I keep saying intense, but there's no other way of saying it. Just that real, like, hyper focused on making the other one stay. And you know, they're not going to, you know, and it almost seems like Wes and Ivy know that, you know, if they're like, no, this is the last time, this is it, it's almost like they know. They're just like, who are you fooling? But they're just gonna keep bulldozing through everything because this is almost like their comfort.
Right. And that's where that knowledge that they're always going to break up and always going to get back together is what makes it the situation so dangerous with the detective, because they have to stick together. And that's the one thing that they can't do. They can't stick together for any length of time. But for this particular situation that they find themselves in, they have a common enemy, and it's the detective. So they have to work together. And they aren't very good at it.
No, they are a disaster. So, you know, before we close out, I think I've said this, but I really like the names in your books.
No, thank you.
I thought, you know, Ivy is one of my favorite female names. And then Wes's sister was Stella, which I also thought was really cool. How do you name your characters in your books?
It's a long process for me to name my characters, because I want to make sure that they don't sound alike, that they don't start with the same letter. I typically like shorter names. Millicent was actually one of the few that was longer, with three syllables, but I'd stick to one or two syllables for the names that are going to be used over and over and over, just because it works better than using a long name every time. So I like Wes and Ivy, short names, obviously. And then with the side characters, I also try to pick names that aren't too popular, because I want them to be memorable. And I want people to be able, I want a reader to be able to identify the character and not think, who is that person again? Like, I want them to, so I'm strategically picking names so that you don't get confused, you know who the characters are, and nothing sounds like one another.
Which kind of brings me to a question, because I feel bad for anybody who actually has the name Karen now, because it means something completely different. Did you give Karen that name on purpose because of the whole connotation of being a, you know, like a Karen, like someone who's constantly digging, or was that just a happy coincidence?
Yeah, that was I try to do things where I can flip them around. So using the name Karen for that particular character, she was very self-aware of what her name meant, and she used it to her advantage. And in according to many readers, is one of the most sympathetic characters in the book.
Oh no, I really liked her. I just was like, you know, it's like when you, I think at this point, like when you meet somebody, or at least when I meet somebody named Karen, and I apologize to any Karen who listens to this, it's just what, you know, like sometimes I'm like, oh man, I feel so bad that now your name has this connotation. But then at the same time, when I'm reading something and somebody, you know, chooses to have this a certain name that has grown in like meme culture, it does make me wonder. And I did really, really like that about her.
Yeah, I want to subvert. I like to try to subvert the expectation. So the when I write in a character named Karen, she's never going to be like the meme Karen.
That's, no, she wasn't. I it was I actually did like her a lot. She was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love her character. I think she's great.
She's pretty wonderful. So do you have anything else on the slate? Are you going to be thrilling us with anything crazy coming up?
Yeah, I'm trying to write my next one, so we'll see how it goes, but it'll be another thriller. And
Very
I
cool.
take again because I don't plot. I have a lot of stops and starts before I find something that really grabs hold.
So before we go, like for real, do you have any recommendations for thriller books that a thriller reader, a thriller writer could recommend to thriller readers?
Yeah, there are a bunch this summer. The ones I've read, The Drowning Woman by Robin Harding is great. You Shouldn't Have Come Here by Geneva Rose. What Remains by Wendy Walker. And upcoming, I believe it's in August, is the latest from Alice Feeney, and she's one of my favorites. And she has a new one come out every summer, and I always read her books. So those are some of my top picks.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, it was an amazing conversation, once again with you, and I'm really excited for your next book. I always am. So thank you
Thank
for talking
you.
to us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to come here and talk to you.
It's always fun to have you and talk to you. So when is A Twisted Love Story due out again?
July 18th.
So, readers, come to your library, go to your local bookstore, do whatever you need to read this story, because this book is going to be a really good beach read and anywhere read. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Good
Yeah,
airplane read
an
if you're
airplane
going on
read.
a trip. Yeah.
It is, yeah, because it's one of those books that like you just kind of like tear through, and then you're just so focused on what's going on that it's a fun ride. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Jessica with Turn the Page Podcast, and our guest today was,
Samantha Downing.
and we are going to close this chapter. Thank you.